Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
But let's get started by allowing me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you have your cell phones, you put them on the silent position. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus is our great leader. Jesus is our great leader. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I went before the Lord this week, and I saw some prophetic chatter. I went to some really good, reliable sources, and then I went to some news sources that were from Europe, that they're unbiased. They don't have a political spin like we have over here. Over here, you're either reading something from the far right or the far left. There's really no in between. And there's been some chatter, and there's been some things that we need to prepare as the people of God. How many believe that our nation is a type now of Sodom and Gomorrah? Every wicked thing that was operating back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's prevalent here today. It's everywhere in society. It's in our schools. It's in our courts. It's in our public arena. And it's in our family. And we're seeing the debauchery. We're seeing that the only hope that you and I could honestly say there is real hope, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. I don't care what president you select this year. I don't care what political figure. I don't care what religion. Nothing's going to be able to bring you true hope and true honest answers. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. How many believe that the Word of God is true?
Yes. Amen.
The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar.
That's right.
And so we're going to see in this study this morning, we're going to see two characters that are going to stand out. Joshua, who Moses placed the mantle upon him when Moses had to depart, that he would do specific things that God had commanded. And during this dispensation, this was called the dispensation of law, where God had to set up the law, because we've been learning in the men's studies by Pastor Art, it was before the law what we're learning regarding Abraham and his descendants, but we're not yet to Moses yet. But God had to bring the law, because men and women naturally are wayward. We are sinful. And so a lot of our issues that are of the heart needs to be addressed, and then needs to be repositioned and somewhat be under control. Paul says, I crucify my flesh daily. Why? Because the flesh doesn't want to do what God hopefully wants us to do. But we're going to see that in the times that we live in, I see that time is running out. Time's short now. It's 2024, and the drumbeats of war are happening. And not to scare you, and not to frighten you, but to give us hope that come what may, if bombs be dropped we're going to be with the Father. Can I get amen? Amen. Immediately. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So there's no fear there. Because if you're a child of God, there should be no fear. You should be wanting to be changed and to be like Him. So let's look at this outline first in Joshua 1, 1 through 9. And then we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have His way this morning. And it reads, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, and it was Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward going down of the sun, shall be your territory. This is God being gracious to a people that He's called to Himself. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I want you to turn to your neighbor. As God was with Moses. Turn to your neighbor and say, as God was with Moses, God is with you today. He's with you today. No differently. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You need to believe that God is with us today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at this. I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of what? Good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Look at this. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Did he say to be a weakling? Did he say to be a scaredy cat? Huh? Did he say to be fearful, to put your head in the sand like an ostrich and let the world pass you by? Hmm? He didn't say none of that, did he? He said only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, but that you may prosper wherever you go. Now look at verse 8 here. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it, what? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all what? That is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Uh-oh. Something that we got to do? Yes. Look at this. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I have not commanded you? Be strong of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wow. Wow. Wherever. Listen, this was an encouragement to Joshua. You got to remember, there was 1 million+ people. And Moses is dead now. The angels took Moses' body and buried it. And no one till this day knows where that body is. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Why? He hid it from Satan. Because Satan needs a body. And God was not going to allow Satan to go into that body. Wow. There's more to it than that on another topic, another day. So look at this. The sight of our current conditions can produce fear. How many remember the story of Joshua and Caleb? They went into the land, but they first sent the 10 spies. And what did the 10 spies say? We don't have time to go to those scriptures. I'm going to paraphrase right now. But he said, wow, there's giants there. They're bigger than us. And back then, the giants were like 12, 13 feet high. Tall. That's how big they were. They were massive. And they were half demon, half human. They were the Nephilim.
Yep. That's right.
They were the sons of God, meaning the fallen angels that went into the women. And out came these giants. And so, but God said, I need you to go through that land and conquer them. And so 10 spies went out and looked. No way. One of them came back and said, no way, Jose. But two came back with a good report. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Listen, when God sends you on an assignment, don't come back and bring fear to the camp. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You come back and say, you know what? With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Whatever God strengthens, He will fortify. He will go before us. Can I get amen? He's our shield and our buckler. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He is our God. And God is always with us. And so just imagine the sight that they saw, these huge giants, and they were outnumbered probably 20 to 1. Oh, yeah? Joshua had to remember, we're not going there alone. God is with us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Man, if all of us were translated to that year and time, and we had to go through that valley, I would tell each and every one of us, God is with us. And God, watch them fall by our wayside. That's the kind of God we serve. But I'm looking at this right up here. The sight of our current conditions, it can produce fear. Look what happened to Israel just recently, October 7th. Rockets were fired off. They came in. And I don't want to put these grotesque, because I have those photos, I don't want to put them in the grotesque. But I will say this. They ransacked Gaza. They went in and they took the women that were pregnant and they slit their bellies open. They took the babies out. They beheaded the child in front of the mom and then beheaded her and raped her before she died. What animals do that? They were demonically filled with demons. They were in the right mind. No human being gets that low unless you're driven by the devil. They were taking, you know, those hose for the garden? I'm not talking a water hose, a picket hose. You know, the kind that you, it's rusted at the end, it's flat, and you go after weeds. It's a hoe. They would take that to behead heads. They would just hack them off. Fear infiltrated all of Gaza. Look at this. They went in there and were cleaning up bloody rooms. I don't want to show any graphic stuff here. And then more rockets were fired off. The Iron Dome. That's called the Iron Dome. Trying to intercept all these rockets coming in. And look at the devastation when one rocket hits your home. Nothing's left. Now, that's just Israel. I believe God is warning our nation too. Do you know that we parallel with them? We're the only nation in the whole history of the United States that made a covenant with God, just like Israel made a covenant with God. When George Washington, our first president, made a covenant, and God allowed the United States to be birthed, it was birthed on the Word of God, on a covenant to God. And Washington's quoted, if we turn from you, you have every right, God, to destroy us. And has America turned?
Oh, yeah.
Has America turned?
Amen.
Oh, come on. Some of you that still have children in school, you can't speak Jesus there. You can't bring a Bible in there. You could bring everything else in there. You could bring your Buddha book. You could bring, you know, your Quran. You could bring all that, but you can't bring a Bible. Why? Because there's only one name given among men whereby we can be saved, and that's Jesus. And the devil don't want that name because there's power in His name. There's deliverance in His name. There's salvation in His name. There's healing in His name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The power of God will change their hearts And the devil don't want that. He wants to keep these people silent. He wants to keep them quiet. He doesn't want them to see the truth and hear the truth. And so we need to look at our nation. God shakes us up too. Can I get amen? He shakes us up. Look what he says. He says tornadoes throughout the land. Listen, the last time Biden, it's all documented, the last time Biden spoke about a two-state Palestinian state, a whole bunch of tornadoes came and hit the Midwest. Every time. So there's a book called Eye to Eye by William Koenig. He has over 1,100 documented accounts that every time our nation speaks on another Palestinian state, God sends remedial judgment. Wow. What's God saying? Don't touch that land. It's my land. It's God's land, right? Who are we to divide it? Oh, that's right. So he sends tornadoes. God then sends these things. Hurricanes. Wow. And how many know that these have devastated the East Coast many times? But every one of these big storms, some of them are called Sandy, some of them are called Hurricane Juan. Where did they get the names from? Huh? Well, there are Hurricane Louis. No. Louis. Huh? I think there was a Hurricane Jose, wasn't there? But these things will happen immediately. Case in point. I shared this story. I'll do it quickly. Yolanda and I, we were at a marriage retreat in Palm Springs, 2005. And my brother Dell and his wife were with us. And we were with Calvary Chapel there off of Palomar. Brian Newberry was the pastor. He teamed up with Miles McPherson. And we had a big marriage getaway conference in Palm Springs. You don't want to go to Palm Springs in the summer. It was 115. We saw an AMP. I go, man. And a picture of an ice cream machine. I go, I need one of those to go in there. We pulled over. Man, you know, got nice ice cream. As soon as the door opened and we stepped outside, it went floomp. It was instantly melted. It's like, oh my gosh. You couldn't go into any of the jacuzzis or swimming pools because they were about 90 degrees. The temperature outdoors made, you couldn't cool those off. You would have to put buckets and buckets of ice in there. No, people were saving ice for their rooms. And then we turned on the news. There was nowhere to go. And we saw on CNN. We saw the most horrific thing that we didn't know it was coming that soon. Go back a year. Put a pause on that. Go back a year. We were there in Israel. We were there in Gaza. We were there in a town called Gush Katif. It was a kibbutz. We were there and we blessed them. And we didn't know why Pastor Leo wrote a check for $50,000. And blessed the mayor and said, I don't know why God said we're supposed to give this to you. And we were going, wow. And they came and celebrated with us. They came out of their homes. They came to the park. And we prayed with them. We got to go two by twos in their homes and at coffee and tea and share the love of God. We were told not to preach to them only if they asked us. And then they started asking us. And then we shared the gospel with them. And so we left. We hugged them. We're praying for them. But I remember one of them took us to their backyard and there were Scud missiles, shells, right in their backyard that the Palestinians would fire into their kibbutzes. I go, has anyone ever hit one of your homes? They come real close. Okay, so a year later, We're now in Palm Springs. We turn on the TV, and Ariel Sharon, the Prime Minister of Israel, and President Bush at the time, brokered a deal, land for peace. And they went into the place where we were a year ago, and were ripping them out of their homes, taking them out of their homes, and giving them to the Palestinians. There were mothers hanging on to their to the sides of the wall sideways. You know, just imagine sideways, and they had her by her legs in the air, and she was hanging on like this, not wanting to leave her home, yanking her. And then they ran out to the the grave site, and they dug up all their dead, and they took up the coffins and took it with them, because they knew that the Palestinians were going to desecrate the graves. So they took their dead, and they became vagabonds. These homes were beautiful homes with tile roofs, and God put them there. And the moment we saw that, within 30 minutes or less, a hurricane out of nowhere formed in the Gulf of Mexico. It just came out of nowhere. And as they were the last one being evacuated, that monster storm hit New Orleans and flooded the whole New Orleans area. It's called eye for an eye. You do this to them, God said, I'm going to do this to you. And guess what happened? After the water was so saturated, the grave sites in New Orleans were loosening all the coffins, and they were floating down the river. Listen, we're her only ally right now. And the moment we cease to back Israel, the moment things will happen here in chaotic forms. And God has been showing Sister Tammy dreams. God's been speaking to me. Things are around the corner. This is why my messages in the last month or two is to get your heart right before God. Get your house in order. Get your life in order. Stay close to God, because He's going to be the only protector. And not only are we seeing tornadoes, hurricanes. Look, remember those?
Yeah.
Fires. Fires up there in Washington and Idaho and Oregon and parts of California. Fire. You know, there's so much fire devastation, it's pathetic. And then, who ever thought that we would see our neighborhoods flooded? I've been praying for Brother Ray. When you told me, Sister Vera, about Brother Ray, I called him. We must have spoke 2 hours on the phone praying. Brother Ray, part of Brothers in Christ. I didn't know until you shared with me. Praise God, he has a big family. Yeah, he lives on Delta. 10 feet of water. All his automobiles are gone. All the automobiles in that neighborhood are gone. They're just done. And here comes another belly washer tonight. It's coming for like 3 more days. What would you do? We're seeing people that we know now. It's getting closer. These things are happening more frequently. And then the big ones come in. This one, the earthquakes. The earthquakes are coming. Saints, we all know that fear causes anxiety, divides our minds, drains our energy. Unnecessary apprehension can hinder us from accomplishing God's will for our lives if we allow these things to hinder us. This is why God shows us these things, not to be frightened, not to be fearful, but God says, be faithful to Him. Can I get an amen? Be faithful to the Lord. I will watch over you. I will protect you. I will be your shield and buckler. Come on, give God a shout of praise. I will be with you. Thank you, God. One of my favorite passages on overcoming fear is found in the story of Joshua, what we just read. Look at this right up here. In Joshua 1 and 9, be strong and courageous. Say that with me. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or to be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you, what? Wherever you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. The promise that God gave Joshua that day is no less true for us today. Can I get an amen? There's no need for fear. Can I get an amen from the north wing over there? Can I get an amen from the west wing over here? Come on. Moses, my goodness. There is no need for fear when we can lean on the powerful presence of the Lord. And how many can honestly say that His presence is strong in your life? Oh, come on. If He's strong in your life, there's nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. And so, my friends, why did Joshua need courage? Why? On more than one occasion, they had even wanted to stone their leader when they disagreed with him. Just imagine when the 10 spies came back. Remember them?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't fight their giants. Just imagine the fear that they brought. Well, guess what? Those 10 never made it in. God said, you brought that report? You're not getting in. Listen, never be a discourager to anyone. Can I get amen? I don't care what the report you heard. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what you may think. You need to lean on the Lord. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yeah, this may look like this, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to lay hands on this and watch God heal you.
Amen.
Can I get amen? I'm going to lift you up to the Lord. The world wants to discourage you. The doctors want to discourage you. But not God. Hallelujah. Even more frightening were the battles that they would have to fight against skilled warriors. These big old giants with big old giant spears. Spears that were as big as their body. They could just sling them. They were skilled. But was that too hard for God? In challenging Joshua to be courageous, God reassured him of His presence. Look what we read right here in Joshua 1:5. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall, well, look at this, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Okay, so they see these giant obstacles. They see an impossible situation. But let me just say this. We serve, hallelujah, an impossible God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's right. God will do the impossible things in your life. He will raise up the dead things in your life. Can I get amen? People will count somebody out. And God said, not so. My. Jesus, help us, God. Look at this in verse 9. In verse 8, Joshua 1, 8 and 9. Look at this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What is the book of the law?
Bible.
The Bible. The Word of God. Some of you now read them on your iPhones. Praise God. Sometimes when I forget my Bible, hey, I got my Bible in my phone. Praise God. Nothing wrong with that. Just read it. Swipe Facebook away and read it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You got to understand that God is omnipresent. If you go to China to visit one of the wonders of the world, seven wonders of the world, He's there with you. If you go on a submarine, go to the deepest part of the ocean, which is in the Philippine Islands, God is with you. If you go into one of the biggest caves, I believe they're in Montana, God is with you. If you go to the Himalayas, the Indies, on top of the highest peaked mountains, higher than Mount Everest, God is with you. God is omnipresent. And He's omnipotent. Meaning He's all power. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. How can you go wrong with Him? How can you go wrong with God? This is why I wake up, I say, God, man, I don't care what this body feels like. I don't care what this body looks like. I know that You're with me. Hallelujah. And there's a change coming. Can I get an amen? Is there a change coming over there? Oh, come on. Come on, Northwing. Is there a change coming over there? I thought they went to the Himalayas. I don't know. Jesus, help us. So, look at this right up here. I have not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for wherever your Lord God is with you, wherever you go. Can I get amen in the house? Cement that in your heart. When you leave this place, when you get in your car, He's with you. He's with you. Look at this. What did God command Joshua about being courageous? What did God command Joshua about being courageous? You see, my friends, courage is more than a tough determination to succeed. That's a natural way of putting this. I define it as a quality of mind or spirit that enables us to meet danger, opposition, or the challenges of life with fearlessness, calmness, and firmness. Being courageous, not everyone's going to operate with a courageous heart at first. I mean, come on. If the door happened to open up and a coyote came in here, there's going to be some fear in here. That's right. There's no fear. Chikaroo's here. Someone who has courage may feel afraid, but through the power of God, one can act with confidence. Can I get amen? Amen. In just a few verses, God tells Joshua three times to be strong and courageous. He says, be strong and courageous. Why does He keep saying that? Because He wants to hit it home. Be strong and be courageous. Where's Brother Joe? Be strong and be courageous for John. Be strong and be courageous. When you go visit him, be strong for him. Be courageous. Tell him everything's going to be all right. Tell him that you have people that are praying for him, that love him, that he's not forgotten. Be courageous about it. Praise God. Look what it says right here in 1:6. It says right here, be strong and of good courage, for this people shall divide as an inheritance which I swore to their fathers to give them. Then he goes again. Verse 7, look at that. He repeats it again. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that which is in the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Look what he says in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Emphasis, emphasis, emphasis. He's emphasizing on that. He's telling us something today, saints, that we are to be courageous. Whatever you're going through in life, whatever's happening to you, mind, body, and soul, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous. Especially for something that's about to happen. Be courageous. Don't let it frighten you. And so, Look at this. What is the reason for such repetition? I'll tell you why. Because right now, I'm looking at my watch, it's almost 11:35. If I say something at 11:35 on the money, just a sentence, a day later, an hour later, we will forget what was said. Let alone, can you remember 3 days ago at 4:20 in the afternoon what you said, where you were, what you were doing? No. We don't have that extreme recall. Unless something really happened that day, like taking a state exam or whatever. But just every day, living. It's like out of sight, out of mind now, isn't it? That's gone. Well, here, God is pounding it in His spirit. What? To be courageous, to be strong. I'm here to let us know we need to be strong and courageous on what's coming, saints. Remember, if you get anything out of this message, remember what I'm saying. There is something coming where we're going to need to be strong and courageous, and we need to pray for one another. That's right. Look at this. God also told Joshua to obey the law of Moses. Because you know why? The Word of God is our tool guide. This is what leads us. Remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? And who is the Word?
Jesus.
He's the Word, right? Okay. So if He's the Word, then we need to know what was written there by Him. For us. Can I get an amen? Well, that's right. And so, He was told to meditate. To meditate on this. Be strong. Look at this. In Joshua 1 7, He says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. That is the law of God. See, when Moses came, he brought the law. The law was instituted. Now, we find out years later, though, we knew that the law could not save us. But guess what the law did? You know what I love about the law? Thank God for the law. It pointed out our shortcomings. It exposed who we were. And here's the good news. We all deserve death. But Jesus came to give us life. Jesus stepped over the law and gave us grace.
Hallelujah.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, He put on the robe. He had to take the robe off. He had to step down to us. He didn't step on. Now you got to remember, He did not step on the law. He just walked over it gently because He said, "I didn't come to change the law. I came to fulfill it." So the law is still intact. The fulfillment was Him, because Jesus is the Word. But what He came with was grace and mercy. Hallelujah. We deserve death, but guess what? We didn't get death. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Aren't you so blessed that we have an advocate? How many of you ever were involved with attorneys in your life at one way or another? Huh? Come on, I've heard them called bloodsuckers. You know, you're just, you know, yeah. They didn't have your best interest, did they? If you got a public defender, we'll be praying for you. They're ready to cut a deal with the other side. Then they come and present it to you, right? Oh yeah, it's all fixed. It's rigged. It's rigged. But Jesus didn't rig us. Can I get amen? Jesus is the real attorney. He's the real attorney, in fact. He's the true advocate. When the law said they must die, Jesus stood on the other side of the law and said, I have covered them with my blood. And so guess what? When God the Father looks down, he don't see our sin. Guess what he sees? He sees the blood. What can wash away my sins? Who can make me whole again? Uh-oh, we're going to have a choir up here pretty soon. Come on. So this is the key to our success, saints of God. We as the body of Christ need to follow the biblical moral commands that God left for us through his word. Can I get amen? Amen. When making decisions, rather than consulting primarily regarding our feelings to our friends, we need to seek to abide by the clear instructions of the word of God. There's nothing wrong with counsel, but it better be biblical counsel, because we can be led astray easily. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, wrote this right up here. Look at this. All scripture, say that with me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What does doctrine mean? Teaching. For reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete. Turn to your neighbor and say, that God wants you complete. And don't forget the other side. That's right. That the man of God may be what? Complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God. This is what God is doing with us. He's raising us up. He's giving us more and more of himself. He's getting us to a place that we are walking in faith and not by sight. That we can point to the word of God and find our answers in Christ. Can I get amen? Because he will strengthen us. He will bless us. He will heal us. He will lead us and he will guide us. No differently than he did these characters thousands of years ago. Did you know that Jesus is still alive and well?
Yeah.
And he's coming back again. And so, saints, God is also faithful to speak to our hearts with specific guidance if you and I are careful to listen to him. How many of you can honestly say, I've heard the voice of God? Okay. Well, for those who didn't raise their hand, I'm going to pray. God will give you ears to hear and eyes to see, that you will truly hear his voice. Let me just say this. He does not lead you astray. He will not cause you to sin. He will not cause you to disobey. Whatever he speaks to you is for your own good. It's to build you up. Why? Because Jesus is... Did you know that God's madly in love with you? Well, I grew up thinking he was madly hateful toward me. Until I found out when I got saved, he was madly in love with me. He pursued me. You know, God pursued all of us. The Lord made a marvelous promise to Joshua. Look at this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise to you and I as well. Can I get amen? Because God will challenge us in this time that we live in. I don't care what the political climate looks like. I don't care what society looks like. I don't care with all the debauchery and all the sexual immorality that's taking place in our land. God is able to sustain us through all of that. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He's able to cover us and we're able to walk through the fire without being burnt.
Amen.
Thank you, God. He never said not to be part of the world. He said be in the world but not of the world. So we have to live in this world. We have to exist. We have to be around those who are not like us, but you love them. You pray for them. They need to see Jesus in your life. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Oh, it's easy to point a finger at them. We're good at that. But you know what? It's much harder to love them. Saints, as followers of Jesus, we have the same reassurance. Our Savior is always with us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look what God wrote to John, the apostle. Look at this. If it's read, that these are Jesus' thoughts in his heart. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for a short time. Sometimes. Maybe when I think about it. Maybe if you're good. Maybe if you're bad. If you're good, I'll take away your sucker. You know how we do that? God's not like that. God's not like that. Look at this. He says, I'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. How long is forever?
Ever.
The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So when he was speaking to them, he was not inside them yet. But for us in this room, he's inside of us now. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That promise has come to pass. Then he was saying, I will be in them. He's in us now. So his word came true, didn't it? Look at this. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Look at verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, and you will live also. And that day, you know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Amen.
Where's Brother Andre? Are you? I always hear him say, are you? Yeah. Praise God. And look, we can confirm it because Paul wrote to the Hebrews. Look at this, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For he himself has said, I will what?
Never leave you nor forsake you.
Can we truly believe that?
Yes.
For 35 years, he's never left me. He's never left me. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that I did to earn that. There's nothing that I did to say, oh God, I'm worthy of that. None of us are worthy. All of us should be grateful and thankful and say, God, thank you for your mercy upon our life. Because we are just dust. He saved a whole bunch of dust. And now he's given us purpose. Praise God. So saints, if you have accepted the Father's gift of salvation, Christ Jesus is your constant companion. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Is he your companion?
Yes.
When you're driving around, you got the worship going on and singing songs to him and praising him? Or do you got the bleepity bleepity bleep blop blop? Yeah. Yeah. Angel know what I'm talking about. Come on, Deacon, you know what I'm talking about. So, my friends, let me ask this. What can we do to develop courage? How can we develop it? No, I'm not asking you to go on a football field when they're practicing and try to get in a huddle and go run a play. No. No. You don't develop courage like that. You develop spiritual courage by this, to meditate on God's word. Meditate. Study your word. Be in your word. Listen, we open these doors for a reason. What do we open them for? So that you can grow. Sister Tammy, she prays and teaches on Tuesdays. Pastor Art, wonderful job. All of them do. Wednesday night, we're in book, chapter, and verse. Sunday morning, we gather together as a family. And we grow in our faith. We grow in the grace of God. We learn. And when we go through trials in our life, we know how to pray for one another. We don't tell each other, oh man, come on. You're weak. No. We come alongside, you can do it. Let me pray for you that God will give you that inner strength. That God will see you, yes, to encourage them. Thank you, God. Joshua said it best, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on what? Day and night, that you may observe it to according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what?
Good success.
It should be good success. Quickly, I'm going to go over these points, and then we'll close. By the way, we're going to celebrate Sister Yolanda's birthday today. She, we got her favorite Hans and Harry cake. Don't run away. Here we go. Look at this. Meditating on God's word will do several things. We're going to look at a few principles and then we'll close. Number one, quiet your spirit down. When you start reading, turn the phone off. That's right. Close the door. Get into a quiet place. Don't muzzle the dog. Just move him away. But get quiet before God. You know why? Because God speaks. You want to hear His voice. Can I get amen? Look what King David wrote. He wrote this. Be still, know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then number two, sharpen your perception. Your surroundings, your word, your circumstance. And listen, some of us, including myself, when I was going to middle school and high school, I wasn't a good reader. But you know how I learned? Seriously, you know how I learned to read and read and read? Is when I got saved. Because I had to read the Bible. God's Word allowed me to read again where my mind was not there. And within 6 months, God restored my mind and I went to school again and got my real estate license. But prior to that, I could barely read the sports section. And God gave me my mind back to read. I could read some of these tough words now. And that's only the grace of God. It's only why? Because I said, I'm going to allow you, God, to sharpen everything that needs to be sharpened in my life. These areas of my life have been dormant and dull. And I need you now to sharpen these. Help me. And God helped me. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, look at this. Paul wrote this best. Or look at this. King David. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to what?
My path.
My path. You see, the Bible will give you a discernment that you didn't have before. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right here. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You know when you call up someone and ask them to come to church and they really are not born again? It's foolishness to them sometimes. They don't get it. But don't be mad. Just invite them again. Invite them again. Don't give up on them. Look at this. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They don't discern the things we do because we've been born again of the Spirit. But he who is a spiritual, look at this. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So what does that mean? That means God will allow me to see things that are, this is godly, that is not, but we don't call it. Because only God can judge it. But we see it. We see the sin. And we have to know how to pray. We pray. And we say, God, you have your way. Look at this. For who has known the mind of the Lord that may instruct him. Who are we to tell God what to do?
No.
But we have the mind of Christ. Praise God. And what is the mind of Christ? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Another thing we need to do as we're coming in for a close is purify your heart. Let me just say this. After watching an R movie that has a whole bunch of cursing and shooting and killing, and say, oh, I set my clock to go pray, so now I'm going to go pray. After all that visual and audio is in your spirit, I'm telling you, you will not pray. That thing will be louder. There's some things that we have to truly purify our hearts with. Can I get an amen? And this is not a knock on these things that I'm talking about. This is what helps us. This is what helps you become that man and woman of God that God's calling you to be. These are just simple steps to take so that we can grow in our faith. You don't have to do none of these that I'm sharing with you. But it's only going to benefit you. How many love benefits? Okay. Then follow the instruction. And those things take place. Look at this. How many believe that the Word of God is powerful? How many believe that the Word of God can pierce the innermost part of your being? And for those who are on Facebook and YouTube, well, as a matter of fact, we greet you in Jesus' name. I have proof of what I'm saying here. I'm not just saying these things to say them, because Paul wrote it down right here in Hebrews. Look at this. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must all give an account. This is why we need to purify your hearts, our hearts. You can't be watching porno on your phone and then go have a prayer meeting. Can I get an amen in the house? I'm just being real here. I'm just trying to help us, those of you that are watching. There's some things we got to cut out of our life. There's some things that we got to say no to now, because I'm a child of God. Listen, if you're a true child of God, you want that more than anything else in your life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You want to walk with the full armor of God. You want to walk with the helmet of salvation. You want to walk with the sword of the Spirit. You want to walk with the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith. You want your loins girded up with truth. You want your feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. Now you have the full armor of God. And now you can face any challenges day by day. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Come on, give God a shout of praise. God is faithful. And so we need also to clarify your direction. And how do you clarify his direction? I'm going to go quickly now. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. And he shall what?
Direct your
paths. There ain't no burden too hard for God. There's no challenge too hard for God. We've seen too many miracles already for you to throw in the towel and say, oh, I don't know about that one. Oh, come on. Look at this, saints of God. Recall God's faithfulness in your life. So if you don't have your Bible at that moment or anything, and you're in a challenge situation, remember what he's done for you. Oh, yeah, I remember. God saw me through this. He's going to see me through it again. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Isn't he faithful?
Yes.
You saw what happened in the past? When you faced difficulties with his help, what did he do? He came through for you.
Yes, he did.
And he'll come through again. Can I get amen?
Every time.
That's right. God gave you strength to overcome despite adversity. Remembering such experiences can what? Can give you courage when you feel afraid. Oh, that's right. Look at this in Ephesians 2 here. Therefore, remember that you once... What? That you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by His hands. So, guess what? He has circumcised us in the heart. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He did a heart surgery on us when we gave our heart to God. He went in there and circumcised our heart. And now we are His. We're His through that. It's not in the flesh. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this. In verse 12. Look at this. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Listen, I'm going to go to number 8 and we'll close. We're going to go to number 8. Recall His promise to be with us at all times. The Lord told Joshua that He would never, what? Forsake him. Scripture says you and I have the same assurance today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Our omnipotent God has all power to guide us and to give us success in life. And we close in this scripture right up here in Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the Lord's.
You are the Lord.
And look what he says in verse 2. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God a shout. Thank you, God. Listen, this is a great time to give an opportunity to those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube. And maybe, just maybe, you're logged in for the first or second time. And maybe, just maybe, God is speaking to you. God wants to do something mighty in your life. He wants to do something mighty in your heart. Well, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would do something miraculous in your life. And so bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Amen, amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, And to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.